for your right to party!
You're listening to the Arrowhead Live Podcast Network.
Thank you, Kansas City. We did it, baby!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Aftermath Podcast. I am your host, Christopher Tenpenny, joined by my co-host, CJ Jones. CJ, another victory Sunday, even though, you know, it wasn't the most exciting game, but anytime you can beat an NFL team, I don't care who's playing quarterback, by 16, you know, it's a good week.
Hey, shout out to the Chiefs. They covered the spread. They made me a little money. I was venting to Chris before this episode, guys, because I had a parlay going, and the freaking Bucks couldn't beat the Browns. Cost me $500. But that's neither here nor there. Shout out to the boys in red. They made me a little money. They covered the 14.5 that I got on Thursday. So shout out to the boys, man. They covered the spread. When a lot of people thought they wouldn't cover it, Chris, they thought it was too big, but we did it.
Yeah. I didn't think they'd cover it. I thought it was too big. I thought it was too easy to get, you know, maybe a late touchdown, but I didn't realize maybe how bad Perkins was at throwing the ball. Outside of one drive, the Rams weren't really able to get any sustained offense. I don't even know really what to talk about this game, because you take it all with a grain of salt. Like
there's not so many guys out. Allen Robinson didn't play. Cooper Kupp didn't play. Matt Stafford obviously didn't play. Darrell Henderson got released like a week ago. So like you said, there's really nothing too much to take from the game, honestly.
Right. Like, it's nice to see McDuffie continue to play well, and it's nice that Bolton got another pick. And, it's, you know, there's all these things. You know, CJ getting another sack. You know, he's up to double digits. Like, there's a lot of good things that happened, but especially on defense, anything the defense did, it's like, all right, you may be going against maybe the worst starting quarterback in the league this week. Like, you're at home. You're supposed to win. Like, it's just hard to get overly excited, but to be fair, it's still the NFL, and it was nice to see them play well. It'd be one other thing if they played bad and we're sitting here being bro, Perkins cooking you? Like, so at least that didn't happen, at least.
Yeah, we didn't get cooked by a backup. That would have been bad. But, I mean, that's a game where you get your stats up. Chris got another sack. Obviously, George Karloftis, we called it, baby. The big freak got his first. No, that's the second sack of the year, right?
First full sack. I think he had first a half sack. Yeah, I think he's up at a second.
Let's go, George. Keep it going, Greek freak. We need more of those.
Furious George.
Chris Jones hit an incentive. I think he got, what, 1.25 million for that 10th sack of the year?
More than the Perkins quarterback makes for this season. Chris
got
Jones got one
in one play. That's so bad. But no, shout out to Chris, though. Trent's him. He's been playing very well this year. Definitely want to keep that going, especially with this week we have coming up. Nick Bolton added to his stats another multiple tackle game with another interception. I think he's tied. He's out with 100-plus tackles this year. Only guy was him and Roquan Smith. So nice. Nick Bolton, definitely, we said all-pro before the season started, so it's looking like he's on the ticket right now for being all-pro first team. So it's looking good for Mr. Nick Bolton. Shout out to 32, man.
Man, we're getting that kind of production from in his year two of a second-round pick.
I'm so happy for him, man. I'm so happy for him.
Man, I absolutely already a fan favorite. It helps when you did go to Mizzou and you already have half the fan base on your side. But he's backed it up regardless. You know, he deserves all that praise. He's played very well. Switching real quick to the offense, just because, again, I want to get more into the Bengals, so I'm trying to kind of speed through maybe our Rams thoughts. The offense was pretty vanilla, even though there was that, you know, they had Colin Saunders come in, call timeout, and they still ran the double pass where Sky Moore threw back to Patrick. Like, they still had a trick play. But other than that one sequence, everything else was, you know, just pretty routine, nothing too flashy. Is that more of the reason why maybe they struggled in the red zone this game, or is it just one of those games to where it happens? And the Rams, for as bad as the Rams are, they do have a good defense still. I think three Hall of Famers on that defense, and Donald, Wagner, and Ramsey.
Absolutely. I think coming into the week, we pretty much knew their offense was going to struggle. And when we do get the ball on offense, they've given up a lot of quick game, a lot of passes, and we pretty much did that. Pat extended plays and stepped up in the pocket. But like you said, we got into the red zone. We weren't really that efficient outside of the one Pacheco touchdown. Then obviously the one where Pat threw it to Trav, but that was obviously from the middle of the field. So
would like to be better in the red zone. Pat said that in the post conference, the post game interview. He said he would obviously like to be more efficient. You never want to give up touchdowns instead of field goals in the red zone. But like you said, that's a respectable defense. They have good players. And I saw a lot of vanilla plays. I didn't see too much creativity outside of the trickery play with Sky and Colin in there as well. So I definitely felt that this week we weren't going to show off too much. And like you said last week, Chris, why would you? Because it's the Rams. Like, you're not going to give some of your best plays when you know you have a great team coming up next week in the Cincinnati Bengals. So this was a week where you just kind of like not – you don't treat it like a preseason, but from an offensive standpoint, you just don't show your hand too much. And I kind of think that's what Andy and the enemy did this week for sure.
Yeah, it was just a boring game. Like, there's no really better way to put it. Pat still threw for over 300 yards. The Kelce touchdown where he beat Ramsey, that was awesome.
Beat him like a drum, Chris.
And that's, you know, Pacheco brought a lot of energy. You know, when did you see, go back and watch that video when Kelce scored, Pacheco's like running beside him and he's like just as excited for Trav when he gets in the end zone. Like, outside of that, like, there wasn't really too many things to talk about. Patrick completed 10 to 10 different receivers. I think, you know, even though he had 300 yards, nobody had more than 57. Like, it was like a good just – kind of get everyone involved, get everyone a touch, get out of here with no injuries.
Absolutely, no injuries.
And just take care of business. And they did that. And I don't think there's really any more to dissect unless you want to keep talking about, like, Sky Moore and Dave Tope.
We're not continuously putting
– okay, yeah. Yeah, so, like, I'm glad you said – and now it's funny because we are talking about it because I brought it up. But it was Dave so funny because
– oh, my goodness.
Andy's press conference on Monday,
bro,
half the questions were about Sky.
Yes.
And
was,
like,
that was probably the biggest story of the game, Chris, honestly, outside of the actual game.
Right. And it's like, it's not even his fault anymore. You know, it, like,
it wasn't his fault the second time, Chris. Like, I don't know what we're doing. Like, Tobe is like, is he on like a hell, like, vendetta? Like, he has to build something out of Sky? Like, you don't gain nothing by making Sky a punt returner. It doesn't make you look any smarter. Like, you drafted him to catch the football. Last week, he had 6 catches for 60 yards and 2 first downs. And he had multiple catches this week as well. He's a good receiver. He's really good at that. Let him be who he is. Trying to make him into something he's not is asinine. It's really like, I don't know what to say anymore, Chris. I don't know what to do. Like, it shouldn't take Andy Reid saying we're going to take – it should have been Nate that made that decision like weeks ago when he dropped the second one. Like, I don't get what we need more of him to do.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And it is still crazy they've won 2 of the 3 games. If I told you they won 2 of the 3 games that Sky Moore fumbled it, muffed a punt, and the game they lost was the Colts game, you'd probably laugh at me. But, you know, they're able to overcome it from, you know, the 49ers and now this game. But I don't think we'll see him back there anymore. We don't need to beat a dead horse. But I just thought it was funny that, like, that was the main storyline coming out of the game just because of how, outside of maybe the red zone stuff, but we know the Chiefs have a pretty good track record this year.
I literally went to the bathroom during that play. And when I went to the bathroom, I heard everyone in the house screaming. I'm like, what's going on? And I was like, oh,
you went at the game?
They were like screaming, Sky. I'm like, oh, he dropped it. I'm like, Lord Jesus.
First home game CJ missed. You mean you were at home watching this one?
Guys, I have season tickets. I didn't go this week. I'm sorry. I did not want to watch Bryce Perkins and freaking Skarnecki. And who else is over there? And Cam Akers and Kyle run football. I'm sorry I wasn't excited to watch that. They made it interesting for people. I gave my ticket away to a lovely Chiefs fan. I hope she had a great time. She told me she had the best time of her life. That was great to see. I'm out here giving gifts. That was my holiday cheer for the year. I'm going to give out gifts as well. So for the rest of the year. So stay tuned.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I was surprised there. You know, you said you were at home and the Chiefs were at home. You know, you've been known to go to some road games too. So I was just making sure you're okay. Your health all right? You feeling okay?
I've been traveling this year, man. I was in Vegas for the Chargers game last week. I was like, I'm gonna take a week off. I'm gonna sit at home, people.
Oh my gosh. No, just giving you a hard time. Anything else you want to talk about real quick on the, I mean, they on the offense side before we jump to Bengals week? I mean, they limited Juju snaps.
I know me and you talked about this week. Me and you both said we would have agreed if Juju and KT both sat out this week. Juju played. Andy said he's active and he caught a couple balls. Like you said, he looked good out there. He left the game with no injuries. Andy said we pretty much left the game clean. So that was my biggest concern and happiness of the game, that nobody left the game. No any major injuries concern. Nobody re-aggravated anything. We got to give some guys some rest. Joe Tooney sat out this week. Juan Thornhill sat out this week. Obviously, we know Kadarius Toney sat out this week. So I'm glad Miko tweeted out today he's actually lifting weights again. So that's good to see. So guys are trending towards the right direction. So I'm glad we got to give some guys some rest because we got a big one this week in Cincinnati. So yeah, not too much for me left on this game, unless you got something else, Chris.
Oh, well, the only other news that is broke before we get the Bengals game is that the Chiefs did sign Melvin Gordon to the practice squad.
And Brian Edwards as well.
Yeah, so making some at least name players. I don't know. I don't want to say good players, but
People kind of know who they are.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon, you should definitely know. Running back for the Chargers, running back for the Broncos, has a fumbling issue, was released earlier this year by the Broncos. I think this is just a depth piece because of Clyde's injury Hey, we don't have to harp on it too much.
Why, he'll only get called up if you have to, like, last case emergency situation.
Right. If one of the other guys goes down, he'll be up.
I do like the Brian Edwards signing, though, because he showed some promise when he was with the Raiders a couple years ago. I was shocked he made it through waivers. I was shocked. I didn't think he would sit that long.
Adding depth at this point in the season in all facets is never a bad thing, and the Chiefs definitely made two.
We said that when we were trying to add a D lineman during the trade deadline. So.
Right.
Never have enough.
Definitely made some depth moves there, but now it's Bengals week. Maybe the second or third, depending on which Chiefs fans you ask, it's probably the second or third biggest game on the schedule.
Absolutely.
You know, the Bills game and maybe the first Chargers game is the only thing kind of up with it, but. Guess who's healthy? Guess who's probably going to be playing in this game? The all-star wide receiver, Ja'Marr Chase, who I think's missed the last four or five weeks.
With a hip injury.
Yeah, he's going to be back in time, just in time for the Chiefs to come to town.
Oh, wow. Really? That's
hey,
I love the tweets from Adam Schefter. With surprising updates, it looks like Ja'Marr Chase is trending towards playing. I wonder why.
Chiefs fans been talking about this for a few weeks now. Even
the enemy said it one week. He said, if you look at the scouting report, guys seem always to be healthy when they play the Chiefs. Everybody knows it. It's hilarious, though.
Hey, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. So,
We're the top dog right now.
Ja'Marr beat him bad the first time. He wasn't quite as active in the AFC Championship game, but the game in Cincy, that was the Ja'Marr Chase show.
Absolutely.
So him being back in that game, I don't care how banged up he was, how much time he's missed. That's a guy that scares the crap out of me already.
Absolutely.
Kind of what do you expect the Chiefs to do then with Ja'Marr Chase and that just the talented passing offense of the Bengals?
Yeah, my game plan going into the week, and I'm sure Spags will switch it up because you can't give either quarterback the same look the whole game. You have to switch it up. But to start off, I would guess we probably would put Snead on Ja'Marr Chase because he's obviously our most experienced, most trustworthy corner. Definitely keep a safety over the top towards Ja'Marr Chase's side. And then I would think we would probably put Trent on Tyler Boyd on backside. And then I would probably put Jalen Watson or Josh Williams on T. Higgins solely because of their height and both of those guys being 6'1", 6'2", corners and going along with a guy like receiver like T. Higgins who's 6'4", 6'5". He's a tall guy. So I would like to have match length and height with height as well. So that would probably be my matchup to start the game off. And obviously, guys are going to have their times and their matchups on each other as far as receivers. I would try to my best, Chris. My one preference would be to keep Trent McDuffie or Legarius Sneed on Ja'Marr Chase. That would be my one preference for the game.
Yeah, and I just don't think I like what you're saying. What you're saying makes a lot of sense, but the Chiefs don't do that. You know, Josh Williams is the left corner. Watson's the right corner. Sneed's in the slot, moves around a little bit. I think, and for the most part, I think Ja'Marr Chase lines up on the left side. I think he's going to be going up against Josh Williams a lot. I think that's going to be the matchup early on in this game to watch because he's the one that scares me the most out of the starting corners is Williams.
Which he's played a lot better. Getting better.
right. He's gotten a lot better, and I think we should acknowledge that. But also at the same time, the Chiefs haven't played quite the murderer's row of quarterbacks other than Herbert recently too, so it's kind of like –
Yep.
Take that with a grain of salt, but what it really comes down to is you can put whatever corner on whichever receiver you want.
They're good.
Yeah, get pressure. You have to take advantage. This line is for the Bengals is still terrible. Joe Burrow, he's getting better, but he's still holding on the ball way too long. He wants to throw the ball downfield. The defensive line cannot give him an opportunity to do that. They have to get after him. That's a big reason why the Chiefs lost the AFC Championship game is because they could not get pressure on him in that game. They cannot do that again. They need to be able to bring four and get you. And they, you know, plus Bags is going to throw up his blitzes. You know, you're going to just see some crazy stuff. But for most of the game, it should be the front four getting after Burrow. If the Chiefs can do that, then they're in a really good position. Otherwise, we may see another shootout.
Absolutely. This is a game coming in. I was actually just talking to a couple of Bengals fans in a chat on Twitter, and they were basically saying the same thing. they're still top four in the league and giving up sacks even after retooling that offensive line. I know Lael Collins, their starting right tackle, is dealing with an injury, but like me and Chris said, I expect all their guys to be healthy no matter how much they're banged up. They're gonna be playing for this one no matter how much they're going to be injured as far as injuries-wise. But this is definitely a week where the D-line has to show up. We're top four in the league in sacks this year, Chris. No excuses. We've been getting to the quarterback. We've been getting guys on the ground. Chris Jones is having an all-pro year. He's going to have an all-pro day Sunday. Like, there's really nothing really crazy to dissect from this matchup. It is what it is. If we get Joe Burrow on the ground last year, Chris, we're playing the Super Bowl. Like, it's that simple. There's really nothing else really to talk about. So
I know.
If we get to the quarterback and Carlos Dunlap, and it's not going to be just Chris. It has to be Chris Jones, George Karloftis, Carlos Dunlap. It's going to be everyone. Mike Dana, Colin Saunders. Guys are going to have their best game of the year. And obviously, this is a good matchup, just like the two last year, where you're favored. This O-line has shown plenty of opportunities to give up sacks. They've done it all year. They've done it last year. We know what it is. They know what it is. There's really nothing crazy scientific I can say about this matchup. If you get Joe Burrow on the ground, we win the game. It's pretty much simple as that.
And I think that'll be a lot of what decides the game this year as well. Joe Mixon going to be out, though, still? I know he missed last week.
Concussion protocol? I would expect him to play. I saw a tweet earlier from Schefter.
Okay, he's going to be.
Like I said earlier, Chris, he's trending towards playing.
Concussions is a little different. I can't quite. Yeah. I was just curious because he had that one crazy game where he was just going up and down. He scored 5 touchdowns or whatever it was. If Joe Mixon can be relevant in this game, that also scares me a little bit too, because their offense, again, when it's just Joe throwing the ball up to his talented wide receivers, the Bengals are a pretty good team, but they become a lot easier to defend. They're doing one thing. Same thing applies to the Chiefs a little bit, but whenever Joe can run the ball and you're actually, first, second down, you're worried about that as well. And then the play action gets involved. And that's when the Bengals are one of the best offenses, if not, top 3 offense in the league, is when they get Joe Mixon going. So containing him is, if we could say everything, we're saying all the generic stuff, but that's so true when you're playing the Bengals, because they have stars everywhere. Like,
absolutely.
You gotta slow down the running back. You gotta slow down the star receiver. You gotta get pressure. Like, that's what it is with this team, because if you don't, they are all so talented that any one of those 5 position players can beat you.
No, absolutely. This is going to be a week, like you said, Spags is going to have to earn his check this week, man. It's a lot of guys, like you said, it's guys everywhere. There's names, and we all know them: T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase, and Joe Mixon. And there's no weakness on this offense. Outside of the offensive line, the weapons are no slouch. Like, Joe Burrow can get the ball to his guys when he needs to. He can extend plays, and that can be his downfall, or that can be to his benefit at times as well. So if we can get back there and get him on the ground and force him into some second and long and third and longs, and I'm sure if you ask Bengals fans, they would say the same thing about our offense. Stop the run, get us in the second and long, and try to make him force to throw to somebody he's not used to throwing to. And obviously, I've heard from around the league, people respect the fact that Pat has been able to do what he's done, given that Tyreek Hill is not here, because there's a lot of names that people doubted. People didn't think that Juju Smith-Schuster could do what he's doing this year. They didn't think that Mecole Hardman could produce, or even MVS, or now we brought in Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore making plays. Justin Watson has made plays for us this year. And obviously, our tight end room with Noah Gray and Jody Fortson, we have 10-plus touchdowns. I think we're at 13 this year for 13 guys that have scored a touchdown for us this year. So we have a lot of guys that can make plays, a lot of guys that have shown they can come up in big moments as well, Chris. So I'm excited for the matchup this year. Obviously, I was excited last year as well. But given the fact we've shown more commitment to the run game recently this year than we have last year, and trending-wise, as far as like our trends, on the road, we've had our better running performances than we have at home. So I don't know what it is about playing on the road. Usually we're more locked in as a team and guys are more focused. So I'm super excited for this matchup, super excited for the guys to come in there laser-focused, locked in, and get ready to go out there and get a dub. Because this is easily the biggest game on our schedule because it's the next game. But obviously we know what our field is like after this one. This is pretty much the biggest game of our year after this game as well, until the playoffs as well. So, and if you look at the Bengals' schedule, their schedule is pretty brutal. So they're in playoff mode as well, coming off a big win versus the Tennessee Titans. So there's nothing more you can ask for this game, for real, Chris.
Well, and just the whole – Burrow Mahomes factor too. I don't think we're at the point to where anyone with a brain understands that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league, and there's a pretty sizable gap between you getting to the Josh Allens, the Herberts, the Joe Burrows. But if Joe Burrow wins this game, I don't care if it's 17-10, like both offenses are just terrible. Whatever the score is, if Joe Burrow wins this game, he will be 3-0 against Patrick Mahomes, including the AFC Championship win.
I know,
and you're going to start hearing that buzz on,
Here
Here we go again.
Patrick Mahomes is more talented, but Joe Burrow is that guy. Kind of that whole conversation is going to spark back up again, and it'll be well warranted. I mean, going 3-0 against Patrick Mahomes is something no one else can say. Absolutely. So I think Brady is the only other quarterback that has more than two wins against Patrick Mahomes. So it'd be Burrow and Brady on that list. And so that's the part to where Patrick knows that. The offense knows that. Like, even if the defense can't slow down those starts, I can't expect the Bengals defense to slow down Patrick Mahomes. And it's just going to be, I think we're going to shoot at it. I think it's going to be a very, very fun game. I see the only way it's not a fun game is if the Bengals can't score. I don't see a scenario, and this is probably going to shoot myself in the foot. I do not see a scenario where the Chiefs do not move the ball up and down the field.
I agree. There's no reason why we shouldn't score.
The Bengals are a mid-level defense. They're not a 49ers. They're not a Buccaneers. They're not any of these other defense.
They're missing a starting corner. So, yeah, there's no reason. Yeah,
they're not any. Like, they have some good players, like Trey Hendrickson or the D-end. He can get after. They have a couple. Hubbard, yeah, they have a couple guys that can get after on the D-line. Some good players in the secondary. But at the end of the day, I expect the Chiefs to at least put up 31 points, if not more. Absolutely. So that's kind of my whole thing going into is, yeah, we can talk about stopping here and what they need to do here, but it's going to be one of the – this is a playoff game for Mahomes. And the way the guys were talking about the game after, you could feel that already.
Everybody knows it. Because like we said, look at our schedule. We're 9-2 right now, sitting at the top of the AFC. If we win this game, that's 10 wins on the season, Chris. That'll be a 2-game lead on the Miami Dolphins, depending on what they do versus the 49ers, who ironically play at 3 o'clock as well. So this game essentially is a playoff game. This can be our number one seeding. This could essentially give us breathing room for the rest of the year. And then also this can lock us up the one seed for the playoffs. So this essentially is a playoff game for them as well, because the Bengals are fighting for their lives. They're right there. They're obviously not in the head of their division because Baltimore is leading them right now. They're trying to win that division and get out of the wild card to get back in the front of the lead. So this is a playoff game for them as well. So it's going to be a big game. It's going to be hyped up on both sides. There's really nothing we can say, Chris. It's going to be emotional. It's going to be high scoring. I expect a high scoring game as well. Both offenses are playing very well right now. Ja'Marr Chase is coming back. Obviously, we got Juju back this past week versus the Rams. Both teams have been running the ball very well this year in big moments. We've ran the ball well, given our San Fran performance, given our Tampa Bay performance, given our Arizona performance. When we want to run the football and we have balance, our offense is very hard to stop. So coming into this game, I expect a big game from Pacheco. Jared McKinnon as well. I expect those guys to go in there and play well. And obviously, we know what this means to everyone, because nobody wants to be 0-3 versus any team, let alone a team that's not even in your own division. So there's no guarantee that you're going to play them every year, let alone twice a year compared to the division team. So I'm excited for this matchup, Chris. These are games I want to play in. I know I say that all the time, but this is the game I get excited about, these kind of games, because it means more, because it's not a playoff game essentially, but like Chris said, it basically is, because it has so much implications and so much behind it. So I'm super excited for this game. I can't wait for Sunday at 3:25, man. I can't wait.
It's weird that these teams have already only played twice, and it was all both last year, but there's already kind of a budding rivalry, if you will. But at the same time, this could go along. If the Chiefs win, I mentioned it last week, the Bengals are one of the few teams that actually scare me in the playoffs because of their offensive talent and because of what the matchup history in the past before. If the Chiefs beat the Bengals will go to 7-5.
Yep.
They will play a Browns team, which beat them 32-13 earlier with Deshaun Watson back. Then they go on the road to Tampa and on the road to New England, some tough defenses. Yep. Then they finish the year against Buffalo and Baltimore. Now, both those games are in Cincinnati.
For the division.
So the Bengals have a brutal schedule starting last week, because they played the Titans last week. Well, that's no joke either. They were able to beat the Titans. But this last half of the season is crazy. So if the Chiefs are able to get them to 7-5 with those remaining five games I just went through, they drop a couple of them. You know, they drop three of them, and they're sitting at 9-7 or whatever that is. 9-8.
Yeah.
10-7. They could be out of the playoffs depending on how it falls. So, again, I don't want to – as the Chiefs as an organization aren't scared of anyone. They don't care who makes the playoffs. They're going to be – as a fan, though, if I had it my way, I wouldn't mind seeing the Bengals, you know, as the 8 seed, and there is no 8 seed in the playoffs. So, you know, seeing them swatching at home is – that's kind of where I'm at. And so I wouldn't mind seeing them kind of find their way. This be the start of maybe them slipping at the end of the year. So
absolutely. No, their schedule is crazy, like you said. They have so many. None of those games are gimme games the rest of the year. So when they said they're in playoff mode, when I was hearing it from their fans, they really legitimately, like as Chris just stated, are in desperation playoff mode. Right. No walk-em or gimme games the rest of the year. They got to play Bill Belichick. They got to play a Cleveland Browns team who Joe Burrow has not beaten. He's
and they got Deshaun Watson. They beat Deshaun Watson. They can't beat the Deshaun Watsonless Browns. Now, I don't know how this man's going to look, regardless on how you feel about him. I think we all know how we feel about him.
Exactly. I mean,
but his talent on the field, it could be an issue for the Bengals moving forward.
I can't believe they let Jacoby Brissett beat them. I picked the Bengals to win that game. Nick Chubb just went crazy, and Kareem Hunt made plays. And obviously, when you have those guys on the field, you always have a chance. And then you add Deshaun Watson to the mix. And then after that, you have to follow that up with playing a Buffalo. Then you got to play, obviously, a New England. Then you got to play that Baltimore game will be for the division. At the end of the year. So the rest of their schedule, as Chris stated, is murder row. This is definitely the next game in their playoff run. I'm sure they're locked in as well. But if we win this game, this is so much implications tied to it for the rest of the year for us. So this is a big, big game. We know it. The players know it. Pat said it in the post-game press conference. We owe them one, and they know it too. So I think they have us at -2.5 right now, Chris, as a line. So I'm excited for this matchup for sure. I can't wait for Sunday, man.
Meanwhile, this is after the Bengals game. The Chiefs' remaining schedule is a bunch of top 10 draft picks and the Seahawks.
Yep.
And Geno Smith. They'd play Russ twice, the Texans, Geno Smith and the Seahawks, and then end the year with Derek Carr. So, like, the Chiefs, they're gearing up. Like, the Bengals are starting the playoffs last
this
week.
This is it right here, man.
The Chiefs are kind of in – obviously, you can't sleepwalk through divisional opponents. I don't care what the Broncos and Raiders record is. Division opponents are always tough. But the talent level getting into the play before the playoffs start is very minimal for the Chiefs after this game. Absolutely. So
big drop off after this week.
Yeah. I think Andy's going to throw the kitchen sink at him. I think Patrick wants to. We could talk about, you know, the Chiefs need to do this on offense or what. At the end of the day, they got 15-8-7 on there that they're going to come up with what they need. I don't know if we need to break down a game plan for the Chiefs. They got their own walking game plans.
From what I've heard this week from fans, they pretty much know that nobody can cover Travis Kelce. Everyone knows that. 87's him. He's not only the best tight end in the league, he's probably the best pass catcher in football. I don't really see anybody covering him right now. If cornerback, safety, linebackers, it doesn't matter. He gets open religiously. Three things in life, death, taxes, and Travis Kelce is going to catch it from Pat Mahomes. It pretty much is what it is, so. They want this game. I know the guys are pissed off about it. Me and Chris want this game. I know Andy's going to, like you say, he's going to throw everything at him. I expect a lot of fun plays this week, man. I'm very excited for this game. I can't wait.
Right. Dude, I'm pumped for it too. We talked almost 2 weeks about it now just because of all the implications coming. So like you said, though, the line is, I've actually got it at 2 right now. I'm sure it's at 2.5 in some places and whatnot. What do you have in the over-under is 52.5? What do you got for this game? What score predictions? How the game flow?
Definitely take the over for sure. I could easily see both teams scoring above 28 points. Like, that's not even like okay. I would like to see us hold them under that, but that's given that team, like Chris broke it down with all those weapons. I expect both teams to score over 28 for sure. So give me the over, and obviously give me the Chiefs. I'm gonna go. Last time we were on the road, we scored that many. So I'm gonna go Chiefs 36. Bengals 30, Chiefs cover.
Okay. Yeah, I think anytime the line's at 2, if you're picking the team to win, you have to take the over.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to be sitting here picking
the wins.
I think this has a chance to be game of the year. I really do, in their place. 325 game. It's going to be the prime time before the prime time games. Everyone's going to end up being talking about how the Chiefs won 38-35 or the 49-yarder from Butker at the buzzer.
Harry with the game winner. Let's go.
So that's sometimes you got to, you know, take your shot a little bit. I just think that's how good of a game it is. I think it's going to come down to the final few plays. I don't think either team will walk through. We saw the last two times the Chiefs got up 2 scores, I think even 3 scores, and the Bengals fought their way back and ended up winning both games. So I don't think either team will be out of it until there's zeros across the board, and I expect it to be a close finish.
Both teams are definitely used to playing from behind as well. Both teams kind of know they're not really uncomfortable being playing from a 1-possession, 2-possession lead. You got to put their foot on their neck, and you can't let up. So, like Chris said, this is a game you have to finish. Don't ever get comfortable. They're going to give it everything they got. We're going to give it everything we got. So, but the last two times we played them, if we run it, it's so funny. The first time we played them, we were averaging 5 yards a carry. In the AFC Championship game, we were averaging 7 to 8 yards a carry. And now this year, we're coming off games where Pacheco has had performances averaging 5, 6, and 8 yards per carry. So there's no reason.
And three last week. And only three last week.
Exactly. But... given that, I didn't count the Rams. That's just the Rams. I didn't count that week. I'm getting the previous games. So obviously, we know how good this offense is. We know how physical our run game is. And they would say the same thing as well. Their D coordinator doesn't really blitz a whole lot. We do blitz more. As far as like Spags, so that'll be a good matchup. And obviously, both quarterbacks have seen everything you could see. They've seen bump and run. They've seen too high. They've seen shell. They've seen zone blitz, man blitzing. They've pretty much seen it all. It's basically going to come down to who makes the least amount of mistakes. Because I expect both offenses to score a lot. Like Chris said, whoever doesn't turn the ball over and is better in the red zone will win this game. So yep. That's really what it comes down to.
For sure. For sure. I don't think that it can say any better than that. So. All right, unless you got anything else, CJ, I think that's going to do it for this week. Well, I guess real quick, where can the people find you, my friend?
You guys can always find me on Twitter. I am at CGZ81. That's CJEEZY81. My DMs are open, and please follow our page at The Aftermath KC. Me and Chris both run the page. If you have any questions, DM us, add us, talk to us. I try to post my favorite plays from the previous game along with our episode, so look on for that, and I will definitely post those very soon.
Yeah, and CJ's always got good plays when he's talking about his plays of the week, so always go give those a look. For me, you can follow me on Twitter at tenpenny88, always on there a little bit, so just always feel free to give me a holler if you want to talk football, always down. So all right, guys, hopefully we're talking about a Chiefs W next week. 10-2, that's the hope. So we'll talk
Chiefs.